Well, I've been like a cat on hot bricks today because God gave me a word on Tuesday night, and since that I've been getting quite excited because he promised that if you act on the word that I'm giving you today, that there'll be wonderful things that happen. And this word that I'm going to bring today, it's a word for every single one of you. It applies to every single one of you. God told me that whoever came into this church today, the word is for you. So it means it's for every single one of you. It was actually Anne that started me on this message. On the Tuesday, and we were on our way to York. I was on the way to York on the train with Mum and Zena's mum. And who should we bump into on the way to Doncaster but Anne? And she was just sharing a little bit with me, and she was explaining how, say, it would take a really successful ministry like you've got in America, say, such as the Copelands, and she was saying how, you know, you can see that they're living in what the word says now, and you can see that they're living in prosperity, they've been healed, they've been set free from any bondages, and it's wonderful. And they also tell you a little bit about the previous history, so you hear of how they really struggled with poverty for such a long time, and that they were ill, and that God healed them. But what Anne said, you know, what was really missing was, you see step A, you see where they were, and we now see where they are. We see step B, that they're, you know, living this wonderful life with signs, wonders and miracles. But they don't really tell you how to get there, the in-between bit. And Anne was sharing how she really wanted to find what this missing step was from A to B, a practical way of showing other people. And if she could get that revelation, she could show other people. And it really started me thinking when I got home that night, and I thought, yes, I want to know about this missing step as well. I want to know what it is so that we can show other people how to get there. And so I said, God, I want to know about this as well. Let me find out what this missing step is. Anyway, I went to sleep, and I'm tossing and turning in bed on Tuesday night. I couldn't sleep, so I thought, I'll get up and I'll turn my light on and I'll do some reading. Then the sooner I turned my light on, and the Lord started speaking to me. And what he said to me really shook me up to start with. He said, Catherine, after all this time, do you not know who I am? And I said, well, I know that I've got a lot to learn, Lord, but I feel like I am starting to learn to know who you are. What do you mean? He said, if you really knew who I am, you'd know that I am the missing step. That's who I am. And that's right. Without Jesus, you're in this predicament, just like the Copelands were, step A, and you want to get out of it. You're sick and tired of having all these problems and all these things come against you. To get to step B, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. But to get to step B, once we accept Jesus, then you've got to, you know that he's with you all the time, but you've got to start and listen to what he says, otherwise you're not going to get to step B. And something else that Anne was sharing with me, we always question things to be true if we can't see them, or if we look at the five senses that we have, if it doesn't operate in the five senses, we don't believe that it's there, we don't believe it exists, we don't even understand it. And that's really true, because if you can't see God, people say, well, where is he? If you can't hear him, doesn't exist. You hear these people say these things. What other senses have we got? We've got touch, taste and smell. And because we're not operating in that physical, natural world, because none of those five senses operate, people just say, that's it then, it doesn't exist. But another thing that struck me as well was how, if as people we don't understand something, we also decide it doesn't exist, just because we can't get our heads around it, particularly when it isn't tied in with the five senses as well. I mean, give you some examples. All those years ago when there were certain people who would say, we're going to be able to fly one day, because people had never seen it happen before. They'd not seen that in any, or sensed it or experienced it in any of the five senses, and it was beyond their understanding. They said, don't be silly. And yet here we are. We know, we might not understand how a plane operates, but we know that there's planes, we've seen them in the sky, we've been on them, we've sat on them, we've sensed them. Bumblebees, they're the same. You know, science says that it's impossible for a bumblebee to fly. And yet we know, although we don't understand it, we know because we've seen it. So if one of our senses can experience that, then we will believe it. But if you can't experience it with any of the senses, and also you can't understand something, then we just say, it's not there, I'm not accepting any of it. And I just thought, you know, who are we to say things like that? You know, to think that we're so clever or that we're so switched on that, you know, we can flippantly say, it's not there, I've never seen it, I've never heard it, I don't understand it, therefore I'm turning off, I don't understand it, it's not there. Grace said the other week, Jesus is the answer, what's the question? And that really, in a nutshell, is what I'm speaking about today. Jesus is the answer to absolutely everything. And we read in the Bible, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, he's the beginning and the end. So without him, there's no middle bit, there's no beginning, there's no end. You can't go anywhere without Jesus. Just like I'm saying, he's the missing step. You want to get to A to B, you're going to have to take Jesus with you. And we also read in the Bible that there is absolutely nothing impossible to God. Regardless of what situation you're in, there is nothing impossible to God. And even if we don't understand it, what the Bible says, even if we don't necessarily understand it, or we can't see it, and we can't touch it, and we can't feel it, that doesn't matter. All God's asking you to do is to believe. That's all we have to do. Once we start to believe, and we start to read the word, because we actually do believe it, regardless of whether we understand it, regardless of whether we're seeing it start to happen, as we start to believe it and read the word, that's when we do start to get a level of understanding. And that's because you're in relationship with God as well. But first and foremost, that's what we've got to stand on. We've got to stand in faith and we've got to believe. And it upset me in a way. And I was thinking, if I invited Louise to my house, and I invited her to my house for the day, and she came, and for some reason I just forgot she was there, and she was trying to talk to me, and I was busy doing my housework, and just completely ignored her for the day, and she went home. If I asked her to come again, I think you'd think twice, wouldn't you, Louise? You'd think, I'm not going there again, she doesn't pay me any attention. But that's what we do with God. You know, we give our lives to him. We hear that Jesus never leaves us and he never forsakes us. So we give our lives to him, and from that moment on, he's with us every single day, every single minute of every single day. And yet, when do we speak to him? If we have a problem, a lot of the time we'll try and sort it out ourselves. We won't say, you know, go to God. It's only when we're absolutely on our uppers and we're in a real sticky predicament that we think, now then, maybe God will help. I'll go to him. He's my last resort. And it really blesses me that unlike Louise, who might say, blow you, I'm not coming to your house again, you're boring. God doesn't do that, he stays there. But because we're not speaking to him, and because we're not asking him for things, and because we're not believing that it's going to happen, it just lies, he's just sat there, but nothing can happen because we're not allowing him to operate. It's just this person, this power that's dormant in our lives because we won't speak to him. I want to go through the parable of the sower with you. And we all know that the parable of the sower is about a farmer who sets out and he's going to sow his seed. And the story tells us about all the different environments that this seed falls into. So if you want to turn to Matthew 13, and we're starting at verse 3. And I'm just going to ask Andrew to read the first couple of verses, verses 3 to 4 to start with, please.
Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 4. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up.
Right, so later on in the chapter it tells us that Jesus explains the parable to the disciples, and he tells us that the seed that the farmer's planting is the word of God. Now, if we're not listening to God, then we can't receive the seed. And so it's the same here. You know, it falls on deaf ears because you're thinking, now then, I've got my shopping list to do when I get home, I've got my ironing to do. And so anything that, you know, the word of God that's been spoke, it's just falling on deaf ears. So what happens? It just lands on the path. It's not going inside us, it's not getting into our spirits, it just lands on the path. It's not going into any soil whatsoever. And so the birds will come and pick it up and take it away. There's no way that it can even take root because it's just landing on deaf ears, because we're not opening any of our senses at all. So if we're not opening our senses, we won't even accept it or believe it. So I'm proclaiming today that that's not going to happen, that the word that I speak today that is God's word is not going to return to him void. It says in the Bible, it will establish everything which it came here to do. Amen. If you could read verses 5 and 6 for me, Andrew.
Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away.
So here we have, Jesus is explaining later on, that we have a person. He hears the word and he hears it properly, it goes in and he receives it. But have a look at the soil. There's not much depth to it. There's bits of rock in it. So although initially it's like, wow, I've got this word, I understand it, it goes in and gets into the soil and it grows up quickly because the faith's there to believe it. But because the soil is no good, because there's rocky bits in it, and because it can't get its roots down, it withers away when hard times come, when the sun comes and beats down on it. It's too much for the plant. It's not got a root system, and so it withers away. And this is like when we get the word, we receive it, and then our soil, we're not in relationship fully with God, perhaps. You know, we're not asking him to look at areas of our lives, and so ourselves in a bit of a sticky predicament. We've got other situations and things that aren't nice coming at us, and it just falls away because it's too much for us to cope with. If you could read verse 7 for me, please, Andrew.
And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them.
So thorns, and Jesus again explains about the thorns. These are the things from the world that take your mind off what's actually happening. The thorns are interacting with the seed, and it's not allowed to again spring forth. So, you know, we have these situations and circumstances, or it may be that we look out in the world and think, yeah, I want these nice things, I want this fancy lifestyle, I'm driven to get this wealth. Or it might be that, you know, my family needs this and it's all too much for me. I can't go to church and deal with all this, so something's got to go. So what goes is we throw the good thing out and leave us with all the thorns. If we read verse 8.
But other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold.
So you see with this one, the seed, God's word, that's falling into this soil is good stuff. It's already been prepared, it's nice and nourished, it's got plenty of depth to it, it's been fed, it's been watered, and what happens, it bears fruit and it bears it abundantly. You've got people who actually hear the word, first of all, your senses get to it. Your knower gets to know it, it gets into your spirit, and you're not just hearing it, you start to do things with it. It really started to make me think, you know, what state is my soil in at the minute? And also about this seed as well. If we can look at 1 Peter 1, verses 23 to 25.
Be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Amen.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Amen. So this started me thinking about something I never realised before in the parable of the sower. Because you're hearing about some of the plants as coming to a gruesome end and it's not reaching its potential and actually growing, you automatically presume that the seeds perish, but it hasn't. Because it says that the seed, which is God's word, is incorruptible.
Amen.
It's what we do with it that's the problem. Even when the seed falls on the path and the birds take it away, those birds will either eat it or they might drop it. And wherever it drops, that can still be a blessing to someone. It says that God's word will never return to him void. So it might not accomplish the work in you, or might not at that time, but someone will always be blessed by God's word, and it will be the people who are listening. And the people, even if they don't understand, who choose to believe it anyway. And that really started to bless me, because in all the other soils, you know, all's not lost in all those other soils. That seed will lay there dormant because it is an incorruptible seed. It won't perish. So regardless of the situation and circumstances you're in at the moment that have got you so switched off to what God's trying to say to you, all you have to do is come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, you're the missing step, you're the A to B, and I need you, and the only way I'm going to get to where I need to be is through you. When you start listening to him, and again, you might not necessarily understand what he's telling you to do, but if you believe him and you do it, then you will see that this incorruptible seed will bring forth a wonderful plant. And so even when you're born again, it's easy for us to get distracted. You know, has your soil started to get a few rocky bits in it? Or does it feel like there's not much depth to it anymore, and you feel like you're not growing forward anymore? Or are there some thorns that have got in there in your life, some distractions, some things that are causing you to worry? Or, you know, you're thinking, why aren't I getting ahead? Something's choking me. And like I say, all's not lost, because if you're with Jesus every step of the way, he can pull up the weeds, he can get the rocks and take them out of the way, and if you're concentrating on the word, then you're getting fed and you're getting watered, and it doesn't matter, it's regardless of whether you understand it. If you concentrate, you keep going at that word, choose what, you're going to get watered, you're going to get fed, and your soil is going to be good soil. If you could read Psalm 55 verse 22 for me, please, Andrew.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Amen. Amen. And if you could read me Galatians 5, verse 1.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
So we can be born again, and we can have accepted Jesus as our Saviour and accepted that he died for us, and yet we can come to a stage where we've taken on these burdens and we've taken on these things that we shouldn't have. Now, it's a fact, every one of us here would say that Jesus died on a cross for us, and through doing that he set us free. And we're reading the Bible, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we need to really get a hold of this and believe it. You might not understand it, but we just need to believe it. Because regardless of the weeds and the birds and anything that will come and try to steal God's word, if we believe it, it can't touch us, because that incorruptible seed will do its work in us. So we can see that if we're truly listening to the word, first of all, we're listening and it's going in. We're not switched off, it's going in through your ears. We're hearing it. You hear that when we're actually reading the Bible, that you're eating the word as well. You're eating the seed, which is the word. And it becomes part, because it's food, it becomes part of us. It starts to build our muscles, because when you eat things, it becomes your muscles, it becomes you're fat if you eat too much of the good stuff. So it is becoming part of us. And when it becomes part of us, you start to get, you know, you believe it, it becomes part of you, you start to understand it, and then you start to actually do it. You put it into action because it is part of you. If you could read James 1, 22 to 26, please.
Of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and do not, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the law of perfect liberty, continueth therein, he being not forgetful, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain.
Amen. So we're to be hearers of the word, and not just hearers of the word. First of all, you've got to hear it, but then you've got to do it. And like I said before, if we believe that Jesus died for us, and we know that he took our sickness, he took our sins, he took our diseases, he took all our problems, and he totally, completely set us free, then how dare we allow anything to come back on us? How dare we take on any burdens? You know, Jesus said to, I think it was the Pharisees in the Bible, you make the word of God of no effect. Now, how many of you know that Jesus is the word? So you're not just making the word, as in what you're reading in the Bible, have no effect. You're making Jesus have no effect, because you're just taking on these burdens, and he's already done it for us. Just to explain a bit more about Jesus being the Word, I'd like Andrew to read me John 1, and it's verses 1 to 14, please.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. So there we hear that Jesus is the Word. The Word was the seed in the parable of the sower. The seed that was being planted was the Word of God. And we've just learnt that the Word of God is Jesus. So like Grace said the other week, Jesus is the answer. What's the question? I've entitled this Back to Basics because what I'm sharing with you really is sort of basic foundational stuff, but you know, we tend to get away from that. We think that, you know, we have such wonderful teaching, and that is wonderful, and it increases, and it, you know, we become more wise in things. But this is the basic thing, that if we truly do believe, which is the beginning of the Christian life, you say, I'm coming to Jesus and he's going to set me free from everything, then why are we still living with all these burdens? Why do we have all these problems? So later, not now, I'm going to hand the service back to Dad, but later on we're going to get rid of these burdens once and for all. Amen. Word. And now he's going to give you an invitation. I said right at the beginning of the service that God said that this word was for all of you. And it's up to you what you do with the word. But if you respond to this, then he can do mighty things in your life. And I just want to read this to you. And it's Jesus' invitation to the weary. It's in Matthew 11, and I'm going to read verses 25 to 28. Sorry, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we're offering an invitation for all those people now that have been burdens. There can be many burdens, but if you want to be set free from a burden, be it poverty, be it things that you want to alter in your life, maybe you're too shy, you're timid, maybe that you want to be released from sickness, maybe it's grief, it could be an emotion that you're holding in your heart, such as unforgiveness, and you're finding it hard to let go. Whatever those burdens are, I want you to think about them now. And like Andrew says, if you're casting something, you really are going to give it some welly, you've got to throw it. And what we're doing is, Jesus completed the work 2,000 years ago. And so that's where we're throwing it. We're throwing it onto the cross where he died for us 2,000 years ago. So I'm making an invitation now. If you have burdens, if you have anything that you want to get rid of, come to the front now.